Our first reading is from the third chapter of Ecclesiastes, and we read verses 1 through 15. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the busyness that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into a man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. I perceived that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. That which is already has been. That which is to be already has been. God seeks what has been driven away. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from 2 Peter chapter 3, and we read verses 3 through 10. Know this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." They deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. By the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the day of the coming of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. According to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. As he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them. You think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. He said to the vine dresser, "Look, 3 years now I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the word of the Lord. Our text for this evening is found in the book of Ecclesiastes, which we read earlier. From the 11th verse, "He has made everything beautiful in its time." This is our text. There is a time for everything. And if Solomon were alive today, writing this portion of the book of Ecclesiastes, he might add a few things. There's a time for a pandemic. There's a time for it to be over with. There's a time for derechos. And there's a time to clean up from them. It has been quite a year. Disaster upon disaster is one way to look at it. Then there is that verse of Scripture, which I just read. He's made everything beautiful in its time. That beauty isn't always revealed at first. But in time, according to the Word of God, things, all things, can become beautiful. Take that derecho thing for instance. Just yesterday, my wife and I were in the grocery store. They have these books out from the Gazette. They're basically a series of pictures and commentary, quite a few in number, on the story of derecho here in Cedar Rapids. To be sure, there were a number of pictures of destruction. Cornfields leveled, piles of debris in the street, so thick you could hardly see down the street. Twisted metal and silos dotting the landscape. That Tires Plus store, you know, the one that's kind of kitty corner from Best Buy, they got their picture in. It was, from what I recall, one of the worst scenes of destruction in Cedar Rapids, at least on the streets that I drove in. And yet, as you page through the book, there's some beautiful shots. People helping people. One of my best memories from this last year is this maybe late 60s, early 70s guy from Michigan. He was the parent of someone in our neighborhood. A family that had a child that went to Little Lambs preschool here. After he got done cleaning up his daughter's yard, he came down to my yard and the next door neighbors. Put in probably 10 hours chopping down, carving up massive trees to be carted out to the street. Saved me thousands of dollars, literally. And was just a fine human being. Haven't seen him since. But he's one of the beautiful memories I have. I'll bet maybe some of you have those same kind of memories. Maybe total strangers reaching out. Times when you were exhausted and couldn't do no more anymore, but had to. Lending a helping hand. Yeah, there's lots of bad memories of this year, but it's in the sometimes in the worst of disasters that some of the most beautiful memories are formed. But the world is not very good at focusing on areas of beauty, even in the midst of disaster. A time to be born and a time to die. Oh, come tomorrow morning, there'll be news of a birth. Who was the first child born in the new year here in Cedar Rapids and in the United States? But that's probably one of the few announcements of birth that you'll hear on the news. More often, it's the nightly murder rap. How many people were killed? How many people died? A time to kill and a time to heal. Time for war. Time for peace. If you read through all of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and look at all the different times, which ones tend to make the news? And honestly, which ones do we tend to focus on? As sinners, we're more inclined to think about, to remember, to talk about the things that are wrong in the world rather than the things that are right. But as Christians, we are to have a different perspective. One rooted in the knowledge of who God is, what he promises, and what he has delivered. He makes all things beautiful in its time. Or another way that he sometimes puts it in Romans chapter 8, that God is at work for good in everything for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. God can take what seems like the worst disaster, and in its time, make it beautiful. That doesn't mean that God is the author of disasters. One of the things we need to keep in perspective is that when God first made this world, he made it perfect. There was no death, there was no sorrow, there was no pain or suffering. And it's not God's fault that those things now exist. Man brought sin into the world. We all know that we are no better than that first man. We sin every day, and in fact, we sin when we know we're going to. At times, we have to confess, it just seems like it's too hard to stop, or we stop trying. We are one of the reasons that there is evil and suffering and pain and hatred and anger and all of these horrible things that are in this world. But God has shown that he can take the worst of life and make it beautiful. Where has he shown us this? Cross. An innocent man suffering and dying, how can that be good? His death was brought about by the wickedness and sinfulness and selfishness of man. You know, Pilate had the power to stop his death, but he was too afraid about losing his position of power to do the right thing. How familiar a story is that? Why were the chief priests and the scribes and Pharisees so worried about Jesus? Well, he might stir up some problems with the Romans. And then they'd come and take away their power and position. As Pilate declared, this man has done nothing wrong. And everyone knew that. Greed, selfishness, anger, hatred, kind of things that we are all too familiar with because we've been that at times ourselves. That's what nailed the innocent Son of God to the cross. Outside of a thief that was dying along next to him, that, in an amazing display of faith, somehow saw in the suffering Jesus a Savior. No one else, not even his own disciples, could see anything in his death but the worst of times. But in its time, on that blessed Easter morn, what God had done on that cross became so beautiful that we now hang it in our sanctuaries, wear it as jewelry on our fingers and around our necks. We love that cross. I think it's beautiful. Because we know that he died for us. And by that ugly cross, the hope of forgiveness of sins, the guarantee of an eternal life, free from all the suffering and pain and death of this world, free from all its sin, all of its anger, all of its hatred, all of its loneliness. All that will be gone one day for those who put their faith and trust in Him. If God can take something that ugly and make it so beautiful, is He not able to take all the other uglinesses that we see in this world? In its time, make them beautiful as well. That is the words that He speaks to you and I. That in its time, He will make everything beautiful. And so it is our task as Christians, living in light of the promises of God, to hunt for that beauty, to hunt for it in places that the world wouldn't look, to see it in places that the world would never think it could rise from. But not to do that just for our own selves, that we might pass our time here in reception of that gift God gives, to be joyful in our labors, but to help others find that joy as well. The joy of seeing God's loving hand always at work in our lives. Not bringing disasters into our lives. Not planning evil for us. Because that's not what God does. God seeks that, in the words of Ecclesiastes. God seeks what has been driven away. Or as it was put in 2 Peter, which we also read this evening. Though God is going to come again to judge the world, He waits. Because He's patient with us, not wanting any to perish, but all to reach repentance. God's desire for us is not evil. But evil does happen. Not by His plan, but by ours. The devil's. The world's. We are not abandoned to it. By the power of God, which can take even the ugliness of cross, turn it into a beautiful sign of our redemption. God promises to you, to me, and to all the world, make all things beautiful. It's time. As we enter into 2021, let it be our resolve to always look for that beauty that's hidden from the world that becomes visible to those who have faith in Christ. And when we see it, not keep it to ourselves, but help others to see God's beautiful hand at work their lives as well. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.